I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Ha! And it's time for another week end show. I do the show on either Saturday or Sunday, and today is Sunday as I record this because yesterday I didn't get it done. Almost didn't get it done today because I'm just not feeling it. So if I seem a little out of it, you'll know why. Yes, Fred, more out of it than usual. Yeesh. Everybody's a critic, including my imaginary friend, Fred, who likes to keep me straight when he can. It isn't always possible. But to his credit, he tries. There you go. Okay, this week we have many things to talk about. But first of all, let me say that we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters, to which we say salute. I don't know why. Why not? Anyway, there's much going on in the old computer world. Mostly the shell shock malware that is afflicting those machines, sadly, in this case, that aren't Microsoft. This is the one opportunity that I have to talk about a malware event that is major, that is not involving Microsoft systems. Oh well. I mean, you got to have at least one, right? I'm kidding. Of course, there are others that attack Linux and Unix and Solaris, and even Mac, which is based on said Unix-I. However, this is the shell shock bug. It's the first malware to exploit a security flaw in Bash, the born-again shell, B-A-S-H, Bash. The shell shock vulnerability was discovered online, and experts think it's the tip of the iceberg. Shellshock is 25 years old, kind of an old malware, you know, opportunity. I guess we'll call it an opportunity for a malware attack. But at any rate, the security flaw has been rated 10 out of 10 for severity and given it a complexity rating of low, meaning it's easy to exploit. Both of these situations are bad. Now, the bug affects Bash, a program that runs on Apple, Mac, and Linux computers. Alert, 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 if you use Apples out there, Macintoshes, Macs of all kinds, like my lovely, wonderful MacBook Pro. I also have a Mac Mini that I use at church. They have been patched, I should say, and they are very secure now. But the bug affects Bash, and it can be run in the background without a user's knowledge. The vulnerability lets hackers piggyback malicious code on otherwise benign commands. The new exploit, known as a bot, infiltrates a vulnerable machine via the shell shock bug before setting up a series of malicious code. One part of the code seems to enable a remote user to perform a distributed denial of service attack, where a network of hijacked computers can flood a server with information in an attempt to make it shut down. Another part of it looks for other routers on the network and tries commonly used administrator logins to try and hijack them too. It's bad, folks. Just saying. Now, the interesting thing about this particular exploit is it is based on an opportunity, as I said, you'll call it an opportunity, that may have been programmed a long time ago. An unpaid programmer wrote Bash is a very useful tool, but it is now being exploited to harm thousands, maybe tens of thousands or more computers. Security experts expect shell shock to be a significant problem. Yikes. The New York Times says, long before the commercial success of the internet, Brian J. Fox invented one of its most widely used tools. In 1987, Mr. Fox, then a young programmer, wrote Bash, short for the Born Again Shell, a free piece of software that is now built into more than 70% of the machines that connect to the internet. Think about that. 70% of the machines that connect to the internet run Bash in some form or fashion. That includes servers, computers, routers, and some mobile phones, and even everyday items like refrigerators and cameras. On Thursday, security experts warned that Bash contained a particularly alarming software bug that could be used to take control of hundreds of millions of machines around the world. That's a lot. Much more than the tens of thousands that I assumed would be a problem. Potentially including Macintosh computers and smartphones that use the Android operating system. The bug named Shell Shock drew comparisons to the Heartbleed bug that was discovered in a crucial piece of software last spring. But Shell Shock could be an even bigger threat. While Heartbleed could be used to do things like steal passwords from a server, Shell Shock could be used to take over the entire machine. That's worse. Okay? Heartbleed went unnoticed for 2 years and affected an estimated 500,000 machines, but Shell Shock was not discovered for 22 years. That's bad. Okay, so the point here is, if you have a Mac, if you have a Linux machine, if you have anything running any form of UNIXI, Solaris, anything, patch it now. Okay, most of the vendors like Apple have come out with a patch that will help protect your machine, but you must do it. You must patch it now. As I say, I've already patched all of mine. It's your turn. Okay? So let's talk about something a little happier, I guess. This is Project Maryland. Maryland as in the person's name, Maryland, not Maryland the state. It's different, spelled differently, okay? Project Maryland is an open source project that is hoping to cure cancer. You know, it's not just a little minor project. They're actually wanting to cure cancer with it. But the whole idea is here, a crowdfunded anti-cancer research effort called Project Maryland, which is, the author here says, interesting at least. It has tinges of the potential of crowdfunding, of open source development, of anti-patent law, of cancer research, and of good and bad science. Little good science, little bad science. Why not? Its implications could reach further than any one single anti-cancer drug, as it hopes to lead by example and help the whole research sector to do a better, to have a better future. Okay? Now, here's the thing. I'm not sure you've really thought through this, but most drugs are researched to find a cure for something or to help treat something or to help, you know, reduce symptoms or whatever, with the basic idea of profit. Okay? That's just the way the business works. Most kinds of diseases that are, you know, very minor don't usually have a lot of people trying to develop drugs to fight them because it's just not lucrative, okay? But that whole system, that whole process of funding a drug has become so politicized and so regimented in the way it operates. This open source project is basically saying, okay, look, let's actually assume we're out to cure cancer, not just make money, okay? We want to actually approach this from the point of view of finding a cure and developing it, whether there's any money to be made or not. Thus, the open source part. Okay? So these altruistic people are going to try to develop a cure without mucking around in the bureaucracy of, you know, the drug world. So as you might imagine, There are people who are against this. Because after all, if you can crowdfund a project for $50,000 or so, as their goal is, and they have 20 days left to actually fund that project, and it actually comes up with something that could be significant, it would be a lot of egg on the faces of a lot of pharmaceutical companies. They're bound by their whole, you know, profit margin thing. You know what I'm saying? So interesting. I'll go along with the author on this. Interesting, to say the least. Now, whoa! That's Fred reminding us of Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is a Linux Geek Software of the Week, since this is kind of an open source and Linux edition. I had somebody write me recently and say, hey, Dr. Bill, you recommend Linux. You talk about Linux. You know, you're always encouraging people to use Linux. Why don't you have more Linux Geek Software of the Weeks? Well, I've had those before, but I must admit most people that watch the show are looking for Geek Software of the Weeks for Windows. But this week, we're going with an open source, free and available, Linux-based Geek Software of the Week, which is PHP MyAdmin. Now, it's a very targeted audience for this particular program. You would need to be somebody who has a server that's running PHP that is then wanting to dip into your MySQL database and administer it across the web. And I have done that using this product, and it's awesome. It is, in fact, how I manipulate my various databases on my servers. Okay? So PHP MyAdmin, it's written in PHP, as the name obviously suggests, and it is free. Okay? It's intended to handle the administration of MySQL over the web. It supports a wide range of operations on MySQL, MariaDB, and Drizzle, all forms of SQL databases that are open source. Frequently used operations, managing databases, tables, columns, relations, indices, user permissions, etc., can be performed via the user interface while you still have the ability to directly execute any SQL command. So if you want to type select star from, you know, so forth and so on, using SQL syntax, you can do that as well. But it also has ways that are automated to do that, which are kind of cool. It has an intuitive web interface. It has support for most MySQL features. You can browse and drop databases, tables, views, fields, indices. You can create, copy, drop, rename, and alter databases, etc. And it's very cool. So I encourage you to check it out if you need said type of things. Excuse me. You know how occasionally you get a little scratchiness in your throat? It happened to me right there on the camera with me looking straight into the camera. And I had to cough. Sorry about that. Perhaps if I had some of what I'm about to talk about, it would have helped, but I don't. And that is water. If I had water, I could make my throat feel better and it would be easier to talk. But I'll tough it out. We're talking about Earth's water. There are some scientists that are saying that Earth's water is older than the sun. What? That seems unlikely, but they say it is true. They say since water is one of the vital ingredients for life on Earth, scientists want to know how it got there. Of course. One theory is that water in our solar system was created in the chemical afterbirth of the sun. If that were the case, it would suggest that water might only be common around certain stars that form in certain ways. But a new study published today in Science magazine, suggests that at least some of Earth's water actually existed before the sun was born, and that it came from interstellar space. Wow, wow, wow. Yes. So it's space water! Dude! Isn't it weird to think about that if you drink a glass of water, it could be from outer space? Would it make you green? I don't know. Anyway, that's certainly something to ponder. This is guys thinking just like I am. That's certainly something to ponder if you next time you drink a glass of water, but the discovery is also cool because it means water and maybe life might be ubiquitous across the galaxy. You know I like the word ubiquitous, particularly with regard to ubiquitous Wi-Fi. I want ubiquitous Wi-Fi. Ubiquitous, for those of you in Rio Lambda, means everywhere, all at once. Boy, I wish I had some of the water I was talking about. Anyway, if water in the early solar system was primarily inherited as ice from interstellar space, then it is likely that similar ices, or ices, I don't know, along with the prebiotic organic matter that they may contain, are abundant in most of all the protoplanetary disks around forming stars. Study Arthur Cornell Alexander explained in a press release. Okay, interesting stuff. Now, I'm going to get some of that water that he's talking about because I don't think I can keep talking otherwise. So, good point, good place to end this week's show and hope that I can get some water in time for my mouth to continue to be able to speak words. So join us next time. Remember, until then, that the doctor, who is very thirsty, is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.